Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to a third generation fire chief. He's retired now, and so is his dad, and so is his granddad. We're talking to Bubba Brumfield and his family. He had three fire chiefs, very involved in the Nicholasville Fire Department, and we're going to talk about that history in just a moment after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to talk about things past and present here in Jessamine County. Today I'm going to be talking about a fellow that I've known for, well, gosh, a real long time, and his family has been known and involved in our county for a real long time. Today we have a fellow, I think legally they call him Charles Brumfield, but he's known to as Bubba. There's probably not many people in this county that, other than your parents and your wife, maybe, that know your real name.
Yeah.
I mean, you say that, and they think you're talking about your dad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, we're going to refer to him as Bubba. That's what everybody knows him as. But, Bubba, glad you're here today. I want to talk to you because I'm sure it may have happened somewhere else in the state and the country, but it's really odd in that we have three fire chiefs in a row in your family here in one town, in Nicholasville. And we start with your granddad and then your dad and then you, mm-hmm, eventually. So we're going to talk about that today. The way we want to get started, though, is let's talk about your grandfather. Let's, mm-hmm, just start at the first of the line.
Yeah.
Was he originally from here? Is he a native? Yeah. And tell us a little bit about Walter Brumfield.
Well, he was born here in Jessamine County in March of 1921 on the banks of the Kentucky River, and spent a long time there, and then of course he met my grandmother at, mm-hmm, the local skating rink here in town. And
now, was that the one down over the old, what used to be the Jessamine County Fire Station?
Yeah,
I guess,
uh-huh,
upstairs
there, Oak Street.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And that's where they met.
That's where they met.
What about that?
The romance was born.
Now, he was from a pretty big family.
Yeah,
there was a lot of those kids.
Yeah, he had three other brothers and I believe six sisters.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So he and your grandmother Loretta,
mm-hmm,
met, and out of that union there was what, two kids?
Three.
Oh, three. Yeah. There's Mark. Yeah, yeah. So name your uncles and your dad there.
Well, there's Walter. He was the oldest.
Yeah.
Walter Jr. And then my father, and then Mark,
mm-hmm,
came along some 16 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, he's my age. Mark,
right,
and I are the same,
uh-huh,
age. Well, for people who are listening, and we kind of have to not only remind but teach here, because we have a lot of new listeners that aren't from here.
Mm-hmm.
Walter, we just did a program not long ago on the Hager girls. Anybody listening may remember we talked about Flossie and Udell and Marie. Marie had some daughters, and Walter married Judy. So that's
right,
the connection into that family.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then Mark's the youngest. He's my age. Now, your dad was right in the middle.
Right.
And his name was Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was he a junior, or are you a junior?
No, neither one of us are juniors.
Oh, really?
Actually, I'm Charles Edward, and he was Charles Woodrow.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
What about that? Okay. So the three boys were born.
Mm-hmm.
But now, at that time, was your granddad already in the fire service before your dad was born, or did that come later?
Actually, my grandfather was in the service when Walter was born,
mm-hmm,
and then Dad was born in 46, right,
okay,
after he returned from the war.
All right.
And then, as I said, Mark came along some 16,
yeah,
years,
right,
later.
Yeah, right, right. So how did your grandfather get involved with the firefighting business?
Well, after he returned from World War II, he actually was working for Frug Price here at the Standard Oil Station at the corner of Main and Oak Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Frug, as we called him, Willard Sr., mm-hmm, was a fire chief at the time.
Of Nicholasville?
Of Nicholasville.
Okay.
And then my grandfather, he got into the service through that.
Yeah. Now, Willard Jr.,
mm-hmm,
who would have been a, was he probably a little, about the same age your dad, maybe?
Yeah, he's actually a little older than,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't he chief also?
He was chief of the county.
Of the county.
Yeah.
So the Price family is just about as involved to a point. Not quite as much, but I don't think either one of Willard's boys was ever in it. Yeah. Maybe Daryl for a little while, but but as far as being really involved, they were as involved. So I could see where it would be natural that your granddad would say, hey, I want to get in on that.
Yeah.
Now, when did he become chief of Nicholasville?
He became chief in 1955.
Yeah.
He started the service September 7th, 46, and got promoted to chief in 55.
Now, at that time, Bubba, was the fire station over off across from where the skating rink used to be? And again, we have to explain.
Yeah.
There is a brick building there that's between a central bank and Hager and Cunda Funeral Home.
Right.
And that housed a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Actually, I think you had the city jail, the police department, fire department, all the utilities, everything much city government was located in that building.
And that's where he was fire chief.
Right.
Now, do you remember or do you know at that time how many trucks did they run or anything like that?
Well, they had the it was a 1926 Seagrave that they had at that time. And then in 1950, they ordered a second engine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the county fire district was developed around 56, I believe, and they had an old truck that they ran into the county with.
So prior to that, was the Nicholasville department servicing all the county calls too?
Yeah, pretty much, the way I understand it.
And then probably with the help from Wilmore on that end of the
Wilmore
county.
Wilmore had a department, and actually my grandfather, being chief of the city, was actually instrumental in developing the county fire district.
Yeah. And that came around, you said, the mid-50s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know, of course, back then, the county, area-wise, is the same size it was 200 years ago.
Yeah.
The county. Mm-hmm. But
Land-wise.
Yeah. But people-wise, you know, back in the 50s, you probably had, 3,000 people maybe in this city. You know, now we got 40.
Yeah.
But three, probably. I can remember when we were young, the city limit sign saying, 74 or something like that.
5,000
something,
I believe.
Yeah,
in the 70s.
So even though there wasn't as many houses, you still had a lot of buildings because we had downtown and all that. But that was entirely volunteer.
Yeah, both departments.
And was there many people on it?
I'm not sure of the rosters. Just guessing in some things I've seen, probably 20 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, most everyone that served on the city department also served on the county.
Well, you did both.
Yeah.
You did both.
Yeah, and you didn't have the amount of runs.
Yeah. Of course, back then, and we had a show, I'm trying to think when it was, in the last year, Stanley Gillespie was on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we talked about the Wilmore Fire Department and different things. And he made an excellent point. He said, you got to remember back then, basically, all we did was put out a fire.
Yeah. And you were a true fire department.
Just a fire. Uh-huh. That's it. And nowadays, it has evolved so much into doing everything else from extrication and people and vehicles and just all rescues and all that. But and because of that, he said, and because a lot of those firemen, kind of like Frug Price and I guess your granddad, owned their own business.
Mm-hmm.
They had the opportunity to just drop everything and go.
Right, yeah. And, you know, you were talking maybe 7 or 8 runs a month versus the 200 a month that you have now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a lot different demographically, geographically.
Right.
As you said, you know, they were strictly a fire department. Now the service is all inclusive. You do everything, like you said, from rescues to hazmat, car wrecks, and
training.
First responder for EMS.
Training's a whole lot different now.
Yeah, absolutely. It you know, that's one of the problems that the fire service is facing right now in the volunteer ranks is so many requirements have been put on training-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And coupled with the large increase in the volume of runs, especially here in Jessamyn County, and people are having to work 2 or 3 jobs to make ends meet, and they just don't have the time to devote to the volunteer service. And one of the big issues right now is recruitment and retention of volunteer firefighters. And fortunately, you know, here in town, which I'm sure we'll discuss further here in a little bit, is, you know, we were able to go to a career fire department in early 2000s, totally career in 2000. But, you know, the county still depends on volunteer firefighters to this day.
And it's hard.
It's hard nationwide.
It's hard. Yeah. That's not just here. It's everywhere. Do you have any idea, and this, I'm catching you off guard, I'm sure, but do you have any idea nationwide what percentage of fire departments are volunteer?
Doug, at one time I knew that. It escapes me now. Yeah. I can't recall.
Well, but it's got to be pretty good amount.
It's a large difference between the two percentage.
And I guess more of the rural areas are where you see more of that than you do in even though Lexington is not a big city, it is to me. But you know, when you have towns around it that, like Nicholasville, that can go full time, but you get out in some of these small areas and things like that, they have to depend. So I could see where it'd be pretty tough.
Yeah.
Now your granddad, so he became chief, and therefore, because of that, your dad pretty much grew up in this business, didn't he?
Yeah, dad grew up in it, just like I grew up in it with my dad.
Yeah. So it was a no-brainer that your dad was going to be involved. I mean,
pretty much
that was it. Now, did Walter ever have an interest
in
it? No. And Mark, did he? I guess Mark was on it for a while. But Walter never did. But your dad's the one, I guess, that had the most interest of the three. Yeah. Now, how long was your granddad chief, Walter?
He was chief for 33 years.
33.
Yeah, from 55 to 88.
Wow. Yep. Now, did he... Was he just chief? Or you said he worked at Frug, but did he do anything else other than chief throughout that period?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. He he started out as volunteer chief, and then in the 70s, that position went full-time.
Okay, all right, good.
So he was then full-time fire chief for the remainder.
And some of you out there listening may remember his wife, because she probably, especially if you... have been in this county for a long time. She probably cooked and served your meals to you at the school. Nicholasville is where she worked.
Nicholasville Elementary
in the lunchroom. She worked there for a long time. So I'm sure a lot of you all remember Miss Brumfield. That's who we're talking about.
Yep.
So your dad got into it. Now, in 88, was your dad assistant then?
Dad was assistant chief.
Then your granddad decided to, that's time. And
yeah, he finally decided that it was time to step back a little. He didn't step down. He actually remained as a volunteer firefighter until 94, I believe.
Yeah.
Or actually, 98.
Yeah. So he was there, but 88, you said, was when he decided not to be chief.
Right.
Now, your dad became chief. Now, how long was he in?
He was chief for 9.5 years.
Were you an assistant with him?
I was a part-time deputy chief under Dad for the last, pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
Once he became chief.
Yeah, right. So you, like him, this was just what we do.
Yeah.
You were raised, this is it.
I always said it was kind of like racehorses. I mean, that was all that we knew how to do.
So. Well, and of course, you know, you have that experience involved. Now, you've got a brother. And he was involved, or is he still?
He still is. He's actually deputy chief in Danville.
So it's a, well, I'll just have to go on now that we're on this trail. Yeah. You got a son, too. How about him?
I have two sons and a daughter.
That's right. You do have two. I forgot. That's right.
Yeah. Are these Ryan and Jacob and Kelly?
Any one of them interested?
No. They've pursued other careers outside of the fire service, and that was fine with me. I never tried to push them either way. So actually, it was ironic. My daughter Kelly was the one that probably expressed the most interest there for a short period.
Well, of course, now Jake's going to do whatever Ashley tells him to do.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's pretty much decided for him. Yeah. I don't know about the other son, but that's what's happening with Jake. When you got out of high school, fire, that's it?
Yeah, well, I had some jobs and worked on a farm in Napa Auto Parts for a while, and right out of high school, and it was during that time that I decided, and you know, it was funny too, though I was raised up in it, my dad or grandfather, either one, ever pushed me either direction.
Yeah. And
it was something that it come to me one during a period of time in 1983, the end of 83 in December, and I decided that I would like to join the fire service.
Yeah.
So I stepped into Dad's office one evening unexpectedly and
here I am.
Told him that I would like to become a member of the fire department.
Well, let's see, 83, you would have graduated earlier that year.
I graduated in May of 83.
Yeah, so you were 18, 19 maybe, according to what your birth date is, to become a fireman.
Yeah, I turned 18 December the 4th and joined the department at the end of December.
Yeah. I guess he was probably pretty happy about that.
Yeah. I think it made him proud. So,
what? And before I forget this, we've mentioned your kids. We have to mention your wife, because if we don't, you're going to be in major trouble, and I probably will too. Tell us who you married.
I married a girl from Lexington. She'd moved to Nicholsville recently, and her name's Mitzi. And we married in September of 89. She's kept me around until now.
And, you know, speaking of Mitzi, and we'll also, we've talked about Loretta, and of course, your mother, Brenda, who is a Williams. You know, it has to be very trying on wives, and nowadays on husbands, because we have a lot of women people who are fire people, too. But it has to be very trying, especially when it was completely volunteer. And just pretty much dropping everything you do and going.
Sure.
And it didn't matter what's night, day, holiday, dinner, it doesn't matter. It had to take somebody pretty special to, for lack of better words, to put up with that.
Yeah, it does. And it was kind of like Colonel Potter on MASH told him one time he was going through some tough times with his marriage. Mm-hmm. Couldn't understand the surprise because he had proposed to her in combat boots. And it's a similar situation.
Right.
You know, I practically proposed to Mitzi in fire boots.
Right. So,
and as did my grandfather and my father.
Yeah. They kind of knew what was coming.
Yeah.
What do you see? And we may have already answered this question, but what do you see is absolutely the biggest thing change from now? And we might remind people that you have retired.
Yeah.
Also. Uh-huh. And that was that last year?
2014.
Has it been that long?
It's been almost 2 years.
So you finally had enough time in that you did retire.
Uh-huh.
But what do you think the biggest change from then? And we'll go back to the time that you can remember. I won't take you back to your granddad's time.
Yeah.
But just in that period.
Oh, well, I would say locally, probably the growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the city was undergoing tremendous change at the time, as was the department.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, change happened so quickly in Nicholsville, and trying to keep up with that change and the demand it was placing on the department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking earlier about my granddaddy and those older gentlemen that were on the department having businesses and so forth and can leave
at
the drop of a hat to respond. Right. And, you know, you went from 6 or 7 runs a month to 30 or 40 back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made it tougher on people being able to leave their place of employment.
Sure.
And not only that, but with the country and the world changing the way it was with the introduction of chemicals and all that other response criteria that we take for granted now was coming about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we entered into the world, the fire service entered into the world of hazmat response. And that really came about after the DuPont tragedy in, I believe it was India, back in the 80s, that really caused our country to take a closer look at the hazmat role that was going to be required. So I think we went from being just a fire department, as we talked about earlier, to being an all-inclusive response agency.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a battalion chief in New York City one time said, when there's an emergency, the fire department shows up. And I think that's people nowadays have become dependent or expectant of that. I mean, you call in an emergency of pretty much any type nowadays and the fire department's going to show up. And that's just due to the amount of training and cross training that the modern fire departments have now. And you know, we're quick there, and we're trained to take care of anything from medical emergencies, childbirth, all the way up to, you know, a large downtown fire, which we've experienced, unfortunately, here in downtown Nicholsville.
Right.
several times. So I think just that quick transition into the modern fire service, both locally and nationally, has always been an issue that we've had to deal with.
And the bad thing about it is, one of the bad things about it is that you are involved in situations sometimes that are not just the fire, but they're potentially dangerous to you guys in other ways. You know, when you go in to fight a fire, you most people know you have a hose, mm-hmm. you have a hammer or an axe, you know, you have the breathing apparatus. But I remember a story one time, and what I'm going for here is how there are situations, especially nowadays, where you guys are not armed like a policeman would be. The one I remember the most was back in 92, I think, with the Rodney King trial mm-hmm. down in California. Mm-hmm. And at that time, as you knew, my brother went to school mm-hmm. with him and all that stuff.
Best friend.
He was on the Lexington Fire Department. I remember him coming to me. I worked at the funeral home that time. The next day, and he was scared to death because mm-hmm. they had a meeting and basically said, we don't know how far reaching these riots are going to be. So if you're fighting a fire and hear gunshots, get out of there. And I'm thinking, that's the last thing that a fireman needs to be worrying about.
Yeah.
And luckily, that didn't happen mm-hmm. in this area of the country. But it scared him, as it did everybody. But it's really a shame to think that you guys, who are there to protect a person's life and property, sometimes have to worry about your own. And I'm not talking about the dangers of firefighting, mm-hmm. because that's always there.
The dangers of society.
Society. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad that you do have to worry about that.
We were always, the fire service was always historically looked at as, quote, the good guys.
Yeah.
And when we showed up, we were there to help.
Right.
This day and time, a lot of metropolitan areas, I believe, I just saw an article about Milwaukee has issued a bulletproof vest to their EMS providers.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's unfortunately becoming more and more commonplace. In New York State, back just a few years ago, there was an episode where a gentleman set his home on fire awaiting the fire department to arrive, and he opened fire on them when they pulled up.
Oh, my gracious.
And then, of course, we had the tragedy there in Lexington several years ago where they responded to mm-hmm. gunfire. And
that was with Cowan.
Uh-huh, yeah. Brenda Cowan, right. And she was executed right. there when they arrived in the fire truck.
And that is a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was.
Society's changing.
Yeah.
And not necessarily for the best.
Right. Dangerous, dangerous business. And you're talking about things that you all did. It occurred to me, too, is these people now that are on the fire department, and I don't guess it matters if they're full-time or volunteer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are so trained for so many things.
Yeah. Cross-training is a very relative term these days. All the firefighters at Nicholasville, not sure about Jessamine County, but mm-hmm. all the firefighters in Nicholasville are cross-trained as mm-hmm. EMTs. Hazmat certification is a requirement. There's rescue certifications. Mm-hmm. List goes on and on.
Yeah.
We spend a great deal of time training. You know, the general perception gets back to just what we talked about as being a fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize, they think the only time that the fire department's doing anything is when they're out on a major fire.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, right. we're a full-time firefighter is required to have 150 hours of training each year mm-hmm. On top of the required continuing education to be an EMT.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, training is a constant.
Sure, it should be. For your own safety, if nothing else.
You have to keep
sure.
on top of everything.
Exactly.
And I know at Nicholasville, they have a requirement that you are to train so many hours every shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of coming in the morning.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be training for a period of time.
Well, and there's other things, too. I know that the Nicholasville, and I'm sure they do this in other places, you all have guys that come down and check people's fire extinguishers and their buildings and their alarms and all that stuff. I mean, it's protection. It's maintenance,
mm-hmm.
Preventive maintenance, I guess you'd call it.
But that's the main part of the job, yeah, is preventing a fire.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right. In your mind, in the time that you were on the department, whether it was a fireman or chief, what is, you mentioned one, a couple of major fires you can remember here that you all took care
well,
of.
Well, actually, I guess one of the last major fires that I participated in as chief was right here in this very building.
That's right.
That was in
right
March
here on this floor.
Of, 2012 or 13.
Yeah, that's when Mr. Burton, I think, had his surveying company
right
here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, of course, we've had two others right across the street.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Those always, I guess, concern me the most because of, first of all, the great potential.
Right.
But secondly, you know, this is our history here in
right.
downtown. And
right.
I hate to see
yeah.
anything destroyed. But, you know, and the county government done a great job of being able to retain the, mm-hmm. the fronts of the mm-hmm. buildings that had burned mm-hmm. out and mm-hmm. actually made some very nice locations.
That one down the street where... For our old listeners, it's right by where Ward's Baker used to be, and for mm-hmm. now it's the county attorney's offices.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that day, that was that took forever. It was cold. Seems to
it
be like
was,
we had ice problems and everything.
That was in it was 2 days before Christmas. The first one, at Dr. Settle's,
mm-hmm.
That strip, Ward's Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cold. If I remember correctly, I believe it was 7 degrees below zero that evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hose lines were freezing. Ladders, we had to take them down extended because they were froze.
Wow.
And, you know, the job's dangerous enough, but when you throw in those elements,
mm-hmm.
it really compounds the problem.
Yeah.
And rotating manpower, you know, you have to take care of your people.
Sure.
And provide a place for
sure.
them to take refuge and warm up and regroup and be ready to go back in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it... It really increases the amount of manpower that's needed, and it, to me, the cold was my worst enemy. Other
right.
guys will say that the heat
yeah.
is,
yeah.
and neither
yeah.
are very conducive to good firefighting efforts.
Well, and the thing is, Bubba, is it's a mental thing. I mean, you guys have to think about four steps ahead
mm-hmm.
or more,
oh, yeah.
or more. It's not just. Folks, it's not just taking a bucket of water and throwing it on the fire like they used to do 150 years ago with a brigade. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's science. In fact, that's what they call it when you go to mm-hmm. college, is fire science. You got to think about this stuff because and so many more things are involved, as you mentioned, the chemicals and things, but so much more are involved that it's not as easy as it looks. One other thing I want to touch on because our time is dwindling down. I don't think people, I do because I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as family members, but I don't think people really realize once you become a fireman, it seems to me like 99% of those people, they're in it for the haul.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is it's not something that's taken lightly. It's all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Most firemen that way.
Yeah. I guess the old cliche, it's a calling.
Yeah.
And you have to feel it. You know, not very many people is willing to go out in 7 degree below zero weather and throw water at a fire for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You have to enjoy the job. You're not going to make a lot of money doing it. You have to feel it. You have to be wanting to be there to help. And once you get a taste of it, your brother, for example, he wasn't around the fire service growing up
mm-hmm.
and decided to become a firefighter.
Yep.
And you know his desire.
Oh, gosh.
So it's something that you have to want to do. If you don't want to do it, then you're not going to last very long at it.
Yeah. And luckily, in Nicholasville and Jessamine County, let me back up. In Nicholasville, we've not had, I don't think we've lost any firemen from Nicholasville, have we?
No, not officially.
Yeah.
There was an instance a long time ago that probably this day and time would have been classified a line of duty death. But
it's
not
been
official.
Several years,
yes,
but an official
time.
We don't. And as far as I know, and the reason I clarify the Nicholasville thing is the Jessamine County, we had the accident with Cecil and Mike,
mm-hmm.
but I don't guess if we've ever lost a fireman due to fire.
No.
Like Chuck Williams in Lexington.
Right.
We
no.
did not have that situation.
No.
And hope we never do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was my greatest fear as chief.
Sure.
It was funny when I was in the lower ranks, even as a firefighter on a hose line,
mm-hmm.
the fear of death never occurred. But yeah. once I became chief, I was worried every time that fire truck would go out the door with my guys on it.
Yeah.
And you just look at it differently when the overall responsibility is yours.
That's an amazing brotherhood.
It is.
It is amazing. I remember one time, this quick story, after my brother died, I was on Man of War over by the cave.
Oh, yeah.
The underground station.
16.
Yeah. But right before that, wasn't thinking, ran out of gas. And of course, there's not a lot of places to go, but mm-hmm. I actually did coast into that parking lot. And I went in that station one, and it was probably a year, I guess, after the accident. And I went into that station and I asked the guys, do you have a can I can borrow? I'm going to walk up here and get me some gas. And they're like, well, we don't have any empty cans. And I said, well, I appreciate it. And I introduced myself when I went in, just said, you know, I'm so-and-so. I didn't tell anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy came out and looked at me and he said, wait a minute, are you related to Cecil? And I said, well, yeah, it's my brother. Well, before I could do anything else, there was three or four guys grabbing gas cans and going to my car to fill it up. And I said, man, you know, I appreciate it. You know, let me pay. It would not take a dime for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And looked at me and said, listen, he's gone, but y'all are still in the family.
Absolutely.
And that's the way firemen are.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I don't know. And maybe there is. Maybe police are. I don't know. But I don't know of any other group that seems to be as tight as that.
No, it's rare. The Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same in the fire service.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, my kids were raised, much as I was, that if we're out somewhere and have a problem, an issue, safety issue or whatever, to find a fireman.
Find a fireman. And that brotherhood is all over. It's not just Nicholasville.
There's,
I mean, you could go to Vermont.
Yeah.
And I'm a fireman, and that it's there. And you may have never met that guy and never see that person again.
Well, you saw it firsthand. You still see it today when there's a line of duty death in the fire service.
Yeah.
You have patches from all across the country. Yeah, I still to this day sit and watch the news, and when I see a line of duty death, it saddens me.
Sure it does.
And not only just because you lost a, quote, brother or sister, but also knowing what they went through in their last minutes.
Right.
And it's a very strong bond. Firefighting is a great team effort.
Yeah.
And you build that bond because, you know, that person you're sitting at the dinner table with at the fire station that night, an hour later may be having to drag you out of a building and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unparalleled, but uncommon to have
That's
that type
way.
Of bonding or brotherhood that you experience in the fire service.
Yeah. Well, Bubba, our time is out, but I do want to say on behalf of everybody listening how much we appreciate the time that your family has put into fire. You retired in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So how many years was it running that we had a rum field there in the fire department? From
46 to 2014 here in Nicholasville.
Yeah.
And, of course, my brother's still in it.
So it continues on.
Yeah.
A lot of hours have been dedicated to the service by your family and to all of our firemen, Nicholasville, Jessamine, Wellmore, wherever you may be, Highbridge.
Yeah.
we just appreciate so much the work that is done. You know, that's one of those jobs where you really don't appreciate till you need it, and you hope you never need
it. That's absolutely right.
So most people, thankfully, would never have a reason to understand the good job a fireman does because they don't have that problem. Hopefully, they never have a fire. Hopefully, they're never in an accident. They don't have that. So, you know, we take it for granted. A lot of people do. And it's not that people don't care. It's just that it's like anything
out
else.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, until it affects you, you really don't think about it. But we appreciate your service. Appreciate you coming in today and give us a little more history about your family.
I appreciate the invite.
My thanks to Bubba Brumfield for coming in and sharing the history of his family and their service in the fire department here in Nicholasville and Jessamine County. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning at 11. It's called All Things Jessamine, a program we'd like to teach and entertain. And we do it all right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.